Welcome to the Dollars and Cents of Westworld podcast, where we try and figure out if it would be possible to run Westworld as an actual business. This exercise will cover the entire show, so be aware that spoilers will follow. Also, this is a discussion about running Westworld as a functioning business. It is not a criticism of the story itself, as we do understand there's dramatic licenses at work here. Please don't send us hate mail about that.
Hello, and welcome back to the Dollars and Cents of Westworld podcast. With me today are Joe Carlin, Pat Swanson, Tom Ara, and I am Chris Nelson. Today, we're going to be talking about whether or not an HR department even exists in Westworld. Clearly, it doesn't. I think we can just start there. That's it. Thank you. Good night. We answered our question. And no, but in all honesty, we see a lot of things that need to address, that need to be addressed by what a human resources department should be doing in this sort of an organization. We clearly don't have one because there are a lot of things being missed, and we should really talk about what the intent of those are, what kinds of problems exist in Westworld that they could address, and how we would see some of that structured moving forward. So to start us off here, Tom, how about you take a crack at it?
So I think just to kind of set the stage here, I think overall we know that we need a good HR department, and it's a necessity in any real business, and especially more so when we've got something like Westworld, where we have a multi-billion dollar corporation with customers' lives and liabilities on the line here. On top of that, especially in our industry today, there's been a lot of examples that I'm sure we're going to talk about where HR departments need to be involved in the day-to-day running of the business because things happen when you have humans involved running a business. And while people seem to always think that the HR department is there to serve the employees, and even sometimes the people in the HR department think that, I think it's really important to understand that the HR department's real job and charter is to protect the company essentially from itself.
Can you repeat those last couple words again? Just really nail it in there.
The part about the HR department's there to essentially protect the company from itself. Is that what you're trying
yes.
to get at?
Okay. Thank you.
And in particular, when you say from itself, you mean from actions of individuals in the company doing things that they shouldn't, right?
Yeah, I mean, any employee of a company is essentially, I think what it's the legal term is called an agent of that company, right? They are acting when they're on company grounds as a representative of that company. So anything that they do, whether it's interaction with a public person or interaction with other employees, needs to be held to a certain standard because that is a person acting on behalf of a company, and that company could get in trouble for the actions that those employees take.
Well, and arguably we've seen that blow up in the news fairly recently, especially in our industry, with the Susan Fowler issue that's been raised. For anyone that's not familiar with it, a former employee of Uber by the name of Susan Fowler had put out a blog post about her experiences working in software, especially with Uber, and some of the different things that she went through, some of the things that she'd reached out to HR in order to get some protection around and didn't really get any sort of response or assistance with, because she did take that whole HR should be here to help me approach, and HR really just dismissed everything. So now that HR did not protect the company interests by handling that situation and resolving it in a satisfactory manner and, you know, addressing the problems that were being caused moving forward, we've seen a huge backlash in public opinion, which resulted in some very public statements having to be made. And you start playing a lot of catch up. I mean, from a company protection standpoint, Uber is in a much more difficult spot and has had to make many more public statements about this than a proper HR approach would have necessitated. They, you know, if the HR department would have mitigated that risk, and it makes it sound kind of cold and clinical, But, you know, you need to make sure that companies aren't discriminating and violating people's rights. And you have to make sure that when that becomes public knowledge, or even just not public knowledge, but knowledge brought up to them, it stopped. It wasn't. We see some very good examples of what happens. And we see that in Westworld as well. And that's, I think that brings us into the next thing then, right? Is there are tons of examples. The Uber one is a very recent, very visible example of that happening. But that's not the only one. This type of failure in an HR department is not unique. The problems that we see in Westworld are not unique.
So at a company that shall remain nameless, drawing a parallel between Westworld and personal experience, you know, violence between employees is not impossible. It can happen, and the difference between HR handling it well and not can be significant in the liability that a company can incur from not handling these things well can be criminal, not just financial or image-based.
So I think with Westworld, right, we have that a whole nother layer of things that kind of need to be thought through from an HR perspective, not because only because we have both employees that are inside the park, inside our facilities, but we also have the liability of customers that we have on our grounds. And I mean, there is also times where employees need to go and interact with those customers. So there needs to be very clear rules, regulations, guidelines for how these things need to happen. Again, protecting the company, but also, you know, protecting the people that we have inside the park, our customers, is going to be incredibly important.
So I'd like to bring a particular example that we saw in the show where I feel like an HR department, if it existed, would have had to have stepped in. We see one of the, I believe he's a body tech, who takes one of the hosts, and this is, I think, towards the end of the show, right? It happens to Hector, goes and has sex with him. Now, this is entirely off the books. There's no approval. There's no company. Right, it feels silly saying that, but, you know, if you're, there's going to be some mess afterwards, and
you're God, not making it better.
I know,
on yourself,
I know, Graham. I know. There's no right way to say this, but let's go with the worst possible situation here. He does this. He doesn't tell anybody because, of course, it's against the rules.
Did the host give consensus?
It need Joe. There's a difference between consensus and consent.
Yeah. So hold on. Forget that. Just yet, because we don't want to dive into whether hosts are people or not, probably at all. But if a guest catches an STD...
And we've seen that STDs do persist.
Well, at least the MRSA was right. The one throwaway line in MAVE. But presumably, you know, other diseases could.
Right.
And any kind of off-the-books use of the hosts by the body techs is a risk. There's criminal liability involved in transmitting an STD through company property like this, and if these things aren't being tracked, it could be really bad. I have no idea what damages are for a case like that. And of course, this is a totally different time and a very different world with Westworld than ours, but it's not good anywhere.
So one of the things that you just kind of mentioned there in passing, and I agree, we don't want to go down this rabbit hole of our host people, but should we talk about some sort of, you know, HR is human resources. Is there any type of thing that we should be worried about with, like, host resources, right? Maybe these are actually employees, and they have needs as well. I don't know. I think it's an interesting question.
So I think a lot of that circles around the aspect of whether or not you consider an artificial intelligence a person. That is a whole mess of legal and ethical conversation that we probably don't want to tackle right now.
Agreed.
So at this point in time, we can brush it away by using Joe's favorite approach. Hosts aren't people, and we'll move on. But that's something that we might want to address in other conversations.
Fair enough.
So if we want to more so address the fact that there are clear misses in the Westworld HR process, the body tech, there are gotchas there for host and other personnel safety, regardless of what we're talking about. We have more examples than just that in Westworld, though, too. We have the scenario where Sizemore gets a little bit too drunk and ends up showing his displeasure by...
Is that what we're calling it?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a... I was going to use the classy approach of saying that he voided his bowels all over the... wasn't really his bowels. He was voiding his bladder. Yeah,
there you go.
On the headquarters map, which I don't know the kinds of companies that all of our listeners have worked at, but usually when you walk into the office and start pissing all over everything, you don't remain employed very long.
So I don't want to take us too far in a detour, but how do you know that, Chris?
Am I making assumptions about our listeners, or...
I thought maybe you were going to tell us a story about your personal experience, but...
Nice try. Can't bait me into giving away those kinds of stories, Pat.
So what you just said is that you have them?
So, Chris, in a scene before he voided his bowels, as you said, Sizemore was visibly drunk at the Mesos Gold Bar, talking to a very attractive woman who ended up being a board member, but he was just running his mouth about all of the problems at Westworld. In somebody in Sizemore's position being the director, is this a problem or no?
I love how you just phrased that by giving the opportunity for me to put a noose around my neck.
So what friends are for.
Yeah, that is what friends are for. Thanks, buddy. Clearly the answer is that's a huge problem. For those of us that have spent time working in software or any sort of new fields where things are constantly being invented and there's a lot of very stiff competition, it's not uncommon for non-disclosure agreements and maintaining company privacy. All that carries a premium. You should not, regardless of whether there's an NDA in place, be discussing company secrets or company critical information with people that are not part of the company. And now we can go back and, as Joe pointed out, she's a board member or she's an agent of the board, whatever. But he didn't know that. He thinks she's a guest or another employee, maybe. It's not the kind of information that should be getting shared. You know, it's kind of akin to the fact that sharing any prospectus information can carry some severe legal ramifications for people.
This brings me to my next question. What if a guest is in the facility and I forget where it's going?
A guest is in a facility. There's my answer.
So you raised that particular situation, and yes, he does go and shoot his mouth off to a person that he thinks is a guest, which is definitely an HR issue. But there's also another one there that we sort of blew by. He's drunk on company time and property.
There's something wrong with that?
Some companies, I've heard, frown on that.
I think this kind of goes back to clear lines of rules and regulations need to be set, right? Because we know and we see that these employees, while they are on company time and proper, or at least property, maybe not time, they live on site, right? There needs to be some sort of, boundaries as to what they can do, where and when. Obviously having a good time at the bar, when it's your off day or after your shift, I'm sure would be allowed. But there just needs to be limits to that overall.
And not necessarily, though. We do see there's a mention, I believe it's between Therese and Bernard at one point, about rotating in and out. So given the fact that the park is pretty much a full-time, round-the-clock job where people are living on site, it's kind of more like the status of what you see with, like, oil rig workers, where they're going into their state of employment, they're there for a predetermined amount of time, and then you rotate out for some R&R. Now, it's entirely possible that they would have some sort of policy in place that while you are there, you are not doing things like getting drunk, or, you know, maybe it's a limit on how much you can drink in your off time, as Tom previously mentioned, but it wouldn't necessarily be unheard of that while you're there, you're pretty much on.
And I think that makes the point that it's even more important for HR to be involved, given that we've got these people on. My company doesn't, where I work, doesn't need a policy for what I do after hours, like if I have too many beers, but because I'm not on their property. But they can't avoid that at the Mesa. You know, you're there all the time. We see Bernard and Teresa having sex, so you need a fraternization policy. Now, of course, they're at equal level in the organization so far as we can tell, but I find it hard to believe that they're the only two people sleeping together at that facility. You need to handle that, and what if you have a boss sleeping with a subordinate? And there's all kinds of situations here that a good HR department needs to handle to avoid legal liability.
Yeah, and I think that there are still some real-world examples, too, where we see companies that don't handle that kind of thing. It ends up becoming known and blows up on them. Ironically, an HR software company has become kind of an inside joke, as it were, for that kind of thing happening. I'm not going to name it. Anyone that's really interested could probably easily find it based on what I already said. Pat's now giving me the look that I should just out the company at this point. So for a company like Zenefits that clearly has had some troubles in maintaining their on-site HR presence while providing HR software for other companies, it goes back to you need to have those policies in place. Like, they need to be present so that we can avoid problems for the company, embarrassment for the company, even if it's something that we're not thinking is like a legal violation. But those fraternization policies are in place because companies have seen bad things happen when you have everyone sleeping with each other. Go figure.
Okay, Chris, I have a question for you. What if a guest enters the facility and they think that an actual human is a host, and they begin to do whatever a new person in this park would do, called sexual assault? I don't know.
So I think that brings in a lot of understanding and questions that need to be... One, there needs to be some clear way. It breaks the... It breaks... Just cut that whole sentence.
Now it's going to stay in.
Yeah, now it's going to get cut. I think that the question you're asking has a couple of different components to it. One, how do we make sure that guests and hosts can be differentiated? And two, how do we handle potential infractions between guests in general? Like, take the host out of the equation. How do you make sure guests aren't violating each other's rights and, performing illegal acts upon each other? I think part of that goes back to, first off, we need to make sure that we can clearly separate. You're going to lose some of that immersion factor, but you need to be able to tell who's a host and who isn't. There needs to be a way to find that out before you start beating on someone or cutting into someone or sexually assaulting someone, which probably says a lot more about human nature and the fact that these are the things we need to worry about. But we see in the show that this is the kind of stuff that happens all the time. So when you have a park that runs its business around these kinds of thrills in life, for lack of a better term, and somebody please don't quote me on saying that I think any of this is thrilling, but it's what some people are there for. You know that there are some people there for. You need to be able to address it. Pat?
It absolutely needs to be addressed, but I don't think it falls under the responsibility of the HR department. Now, go ahead, Chris.
I agree with you completely.
I was ready to argue. All right. There we go. I'm going to say it anyway. HR needs to deal with the internal employee problems, difficulties, actions. That isn't. That's certainly legal would be involved there because you know, guests hurting each other can turn into all kinds of criminal prosecution. And probably if we said the operations were the people that were running the park day to day, they need to have policies and some kind of system and probably some way for the guests, like you said, to identify each other clearly, even though it ruins a little bit of the immersion. You know, you can't accidentally scalp another guest. That's bad. Don't do that.
I agree. And I'm glad that you brought it back there because I think that Joe is really trying to get me to go down a rabbit hole. And he knows that that works sometimes. So thank you. It's a very good point. We can talk about a lot of things, and when you start talking about the interactions between people, it's very easy to somehow start losing that distinction between what HR should be overseeing and what they shouldn't. And I think you pretty clearly spelled it out there. When you have customers interacting with other customers, that stops being an HR issue and starts being a security, an operational, and depending on how unfortunate the events turn out, a legal issue.
The one situation we haven't yet talked about is employee and customer. And it's my opinion that that should still be HR. I mean, you might have policies in other groups that also touch on that because customers are involved, but my feeling is that HR is involved whenever any employee is involved.
Yeah, I think that's fair. It's probably a good ground rule, right? So we've been talking a lot about HR as essentially the rule makers, right? Setting the guidelines for what can and cannot happen, specifically, like we just said, around the employees and the company itself. I think there is one other really big, important thing that HR is supposed to be doing, and we can see a big fault here in the show specifically. Go ahead.
Onboarding.
There you go. Why am I going towards onboarding, Chris?
The reason we're going towards onboarding is because I've yelled about this a lot in the past.
Nicely done.
Yeah, in all honesty, there's a few critical features that you look at for HR. The one that we've been touching on a lot, as Tom already said, is you know kind of the interactions between employees. But one is making sure that your employees come into the company understanding what's expected of them, making sure that all their paperwork's in place. The reason that this has come up as being another failure point in what we've been talking about is for anyone that has seen the show, which I hope all of you have at this point. Otherwise, why are you listening to us?
Please keep listening. Yeah, okay. We need all the listeners we can get. If you haven't seen the show, you can stay. It's all right.
None of what I'm about to say is going to make sense then. Bernard isn't a person.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you for that.
We have a host who everyone around him is convinced that he is an employee and a person as they are. We have someone who didn't exist before a few years ago. The details are a little fuzzy on exactly how long ago Ford brought Bernard into being, but you have someone who is based around the likeness of one of the company's founders who doesn't exist on paper. I mean, the forensic accounting that would need to be done by Ford in order to somehow create this entire person that has, you know, social security numbers and college degrees and all this other stuff that an HR department would normally verify. None of that is there. There's been no verification that Bernard is eligible to work in the United States, that he's actually a person. Like, how do we not know these kinds of things at a base level?
I don't want to set off people on what is a hot-button issue politically now, but there's a bunch of legal liability on businesses to verify that employees are actual, you know, residents and not, say, illegal aliens, illegal immigrants. Apparently, they've just sort of waived that here. Like, or he's got really good fake documentation and it's being done. It's amazing to me that in this world, it's either Ford has been able to fake all of the documentation, or all of a sudden nobody in the country cares about this formerly very hot-button issue.
Bernard might just be getting paid cash under the table.
So maybe Ford is that good, and he has created a whole false profile for this guy. But how the hell did nobody notice that he looks exactly like one of the founders?
Right. Like, I don't... So for anyone that's walked into a building with a company that's been established for a while, and you have, you know, what it's that fame wall, right? You got a few pictures of, like, the people that have founded the company, and at no point in time were there apparently pictures of Arnold and Ford together ever, because otherwise someone would have been like, man, Bernard has been here for a long time.
To be fair, I have worked with somebody that hasn't aged a day in, like, 10 years.
You work for vampires?
No, this person's hair may have been fake.
Well, that was a delightful little anecdote. Thank you, Joe.
Bringing the hard personal experience.
So, on the one hand, we're talking about 35 years, I believe, of company history. And so I could kind of understand if basically everyone has left from the initial group to whenever Bernard started. And it's especially plausible if Ford is getting rid of people so he can pull this off. So that part I can sort of kind of see. The part that I have difficulty with is we see how ubiquitous all of this social network slash basically spying systems are out in our world, in all of the Facebook photos, all of the Twitter posts. This stuff, it doesn't go away. And so to suggest that this guy starting this company, you know, all of the pictures, all of the family pictures, what about Bernard's family? Like, not Bernard, I should say Arnold's family. Presumably, at least one of them has pictures online of this guy, if they're like basically anybody else.
Maybe they're just on Google Plus.
Or Diaspora. I did it. I said that. To cut that.
Yeah, or Diaspora. There,
sure. Yeah. Thanks. That's making it, isn't it? Fuck you, Tom.
Yep. Now I got to bleep it, damn it.
God, I feel like Joe. All right. So that's the part that I find to be really unbelievable. They suggest that some people have done some digging, trying to find out. Like, even the board doesn't know, and they want whatever opportunity they can to stick Ford. It beggars belief.
I mean, not just that, though, either. To rewind just a hair into something you said a few moments ago there, people that are disappearing because of Ford, do we not have efficient offboarding processes either? I mean, we mentioned onboarding earlier, but HR is also responsible for offboarding. It's usually when you do exit interviews, find out why people are leaving the company. If you have a whole bunch of people that are leaving the company without giving notice and just have just fallen off the radar, you would think that at some point in time, someone might say, hey, we have a facility where people are essentially stranded here, much like oil workers, and they keep vanishing. Do we find this to be suspicious? And a lot of that will boil into also, you know, security processes and monitoring and all this other stuff that we talk about throughout the course of this podcast. I think it really draws home the fact that so much of this is interrelated, but it's another critical failure point.
Well, and another thing that we can go directly back to the show with, right? Part of that offboarding process that you talked about is probably some sort of checklist of, I need to take care of all these things as the employee exits the company. Pretty sure one of those things should be things like deactivating accounts. So that source code from an employee that was killed by a host probably shouldn't make it back in.
You mean Arnold shouldn't be able to check in code 30 years later?
Imagine that.
forget Arnold. How about when Bernard gets fired, we remove him from the building? He's still got access to everything. He's still just walking around. Like, that's okay. He's a high-level VP of some kind with an enormous amount of access, and you'd think the board would have learned their lesson about high-level executives being given too much room to maneuver, given that they've worked with Ford for 30 years. What are we doing?
I don't even think that it needs to be a high-level executive so much as for anyone who has not left a company against their will before, which I don't know that any of us in the room right now can say. Maybe Pat. Nope, not even Pat. All right. All of us have at one point in time had to leave a company without wanting to leave the company ahead of time. It's not like we were executives. I certainly have never had free run of a building after my employment has been terminated. I'm pretty sure that most people have not had free run of the building after their employment's been terminated. It's not only an HR failure. It's, again, security failure, HR failure. We see a lot of these, again, moving parts where a lot of departments need to be working with each other, and they're just not. And as a result, we're seeing some pretty clear failures here.
I can recall one time in personal history where I had been laid off because of financial troubles at a company. A week later, I had gone back to the company because I had left on good terms and went to go pick up my stuff, like a small Christmas tree I had left on my desk. While I was talking with my coworkers, I had just chuckled about some company that was hiring a team of people that would encompass the group of people I was talking about, and I was forcibly removed from the building. It's not hard to do.
To forcibly remove you?
Can we try that?
I'm a big guy.
Joe being thrown out on a street aside, that touches on another thing that, while not necessarily an HR issue, probably ties into a bit of a legal one as well. You want to make sure that once your offboarding process is finished and you have people that have either left the company on good terms, left the company not on good terms, whatever the case may be, you want to ensure that they're not poaching people as they leave. So whatever needs to be in place for that, probably another topic of discussion.
You'd probably be fine with Bernard, though. I mean, you escort him off the premises, he's going to blow up anyway.
Well, I think we're making a huge assumption here. As we've seen, it's apparently not a big deal to remove the bomb from a host, so he probably doesn't even have one installed. So we've gone pretty roundabout here and touched on a few different things, but I think the real central point that we've hit is that HR is a very important organization that sets some very discrete, or should set some very discrete, policies that can impact many different aspects of a company. The approach that HR takes in enacting its policies and how they're treating the employees and how they're handling onboarding and offboarding really need to be coordinated with a bunch of other groups. But not having it can lead to some very major problems. We have some very real world examples that we can see that manifest themselves very similarly to what we see happen in the show. So it's a pretty big no-brainer that we really just need to have an HR organization that can handle all these things. We've mentioned before about things that have been done before and rehashing established items in the industry. HR is probably one of them. We've seen it done incorrectly in real world. We see it done incorrectly in Westworld. We know how to approach it moving forward. Have one. Protect the company.
To find out more about this podcast and for the show notes of this episode, please go to dollarsandcentsofwestworld.com. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/dollarsandcentsofwestworld and on Twitter at _DASOW. Can I add one thing to the onboarding checklist?
You can add more than one thing.
They should probably hand them their t-shirt that says, "Don't be shitty."
That's not making the cut.
Why not?
We talked about this.
That's totally going afterwards.
Yeah.
That's the after credits bite right there.
We're not even explaining why the shirt or any of the...
That was in the last... The security practices one, yeah.
Mm.
Don't be shitty.
I liked it, Tom.